Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this evening by using the scripture part that we have been reading, Genesis 12. And I read especially one verse for as a text verse for the sermon, Genesis 12, verse 9, where we read as follows, "And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south." The theme for the sermon is sojourning, and we have 3 points of attention. The first point, called; the second point, obedient; and the third point, tested. So the theme is sojourning, and we have 3 points, called, obedient, and tested. Congregation, there's a lot of traveling in this world. You would go to the airport, you can be amazed about how many people will travel in all directions in this world. And that goes pretty easy in our days. But when you would go to travel, you would make a plan, isn't it? And we have the technical means to do that. We will try to be sure about where we go, what our destination is. We want to know that. We want to see something of that, so that we are prepared. Where are we going? Where are we going to stay? What is the situation there? What people are living there? All kind of things we want to know. Yeah, that's understandable. A lot of traveling. Especially in a time of vacation, people will travel, try to find rest, and usually come home more tired than when before they left. I remember there was a neighbor in the village where I grew up, and he had written on his house, "The rest is not here." That is true. Yeah, there's a lot of traveling in this world. And this evening we have read a scripture part about traveling. We can say this whole life of a Christian is like traveling from our birth to the day of our death. It's like a journey. We travel. But we don't know the day that we will arrive at our destination. Like we didn't make a decision about the day that we were born. So the day that we will pass away out of this world is in the hand of the Lord. Isn't that true? I hope you find rest in that. I hope that you know how good that is. We read in the scripture part about Abram, who had to leave his father's house and who had to start a journey, to sojourn. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." That's different. He did not have the technical means to see where he would go. No. And the Lord did not explain it to him. The Lord just called him. The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Yeah, there's not much that is told to him about his destination. In fact, nothing. Only that the Lord would show it to him. So the Lord would guide him and bring him in that land that he would give to him. "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." The Lord is giving his promise to Abram, and that has to be enough. This morning we read some verses from Hebrews 11, about Noah. And the next person we could read about in Hebrews 11 is about Abram. And they all needed faith to obey the Lord and to follow the Lord. And it is hard for us to see what it means for Abram to obey the Lord in this command. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. So leave everything behind. Can you imagine that, children? One day your father will sit with you around the table and say, well, the Lord has spoken to me. We have to leave. We have to leave this country. We have to leave our kindred, our relationships, our relations, relatives, and our family, our father's house. And we have to go. Where do we have to go then? Where are we going? Well, the Lord will show us. Wouldn't that be hard? Isn't that too much of uncertainty for us? Well, it depends. If we trust the Lord, if we could trust Him in His ruling our life, in His ruling all things in this world, oh, if we could see His mighty hand bearing us, guiding us, then it would not be too much, would it? What a wonderful thing. If we could see that the Lord in His providence is ruling our life, and that nothing in our life is happening by accident. No, it's all according to that wise and great counsel of the Lord. And He has His purpose, and He has His plan with His children and with His world. He will certainly bring this world to that new destination of a world perfect without sin, where He will be served like He is worthy to be served and worshipped. And He will do the same with all the lives of each of His children if we would only trust the Lord. And what does Abram do? He is gonna be obedient. Well, like I said, it is hard for us to see what this means for Abram. To leave your country and to leave your relatives and to go to a land that the Lord will show you, well, that means to leave all human certainty behind, all human protection behind. Because if there would be trouble, who would help you? No brother nearby, no cousin nearby, no relatives nearby. When we listen to people here, you can hear them say, well, that's a cousin of me. Oh yeah, and that's a second or a third or a fourth cousin. It's amazing how many people are related to each other. And so there's a way that you can support each other and that can feel good. But Abram had to leave it behind. Well, we live in a time that we have a lot of means to be helped. And we can do a lot of on our own. But when I was in Africa, there was a different society. And I was aware that people were very careful in the way that they would treat each other, that they would behave to each other. You wouldn't say them the truth. You wouldn't say in a rough way things to a person that you were related to. Of course, we always have to be careful and kind, but there was a special reason. They would say, well, if I would lose my job, and if I would not have income, and I've made my family, my relatives, angry with me, who would help me? I depend on them. So if I lose my job, they will come and help me and bring me food. Well, Abram had to leave all these certainties, that security behind, to listen to the voice of the Lord calling him. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Why? What is the reason? What is the purpose of doing that? Well, the Lord had a very important reason to do that. Like I said, the Lord has his plan with his world. He created everything perfect and good. And we fell away from the Lord in paradise. But the Lord came with his promise to Adam and Eve that he would send salvation into this world. But we have heard this morning how corrupt the world became, and that people became so sinful in this world, so full of violence, that the Lord had to wash this world. So there was a new start with Noah. So the Lord started with this righteous man who received grace from the Lord, but it didn't last long. And then, in their pride, they started to build a tower. So the Lord had to confuse their language and to spread them all over the world like he wanted them. And now the Lord is going to do it in a different way. He's not going to wash this world like he did before. He promised to Noah that he wouldn't do that again. But he's going to call one man out of the depravity of idolatry to use that one man for his plan, to make a special people for himself. He made a covenant. He made it very clear to Abram that he was going to use him so that all the nations would be blessed. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So the Lord was going to call Abram out of the world in such a way to be different from the world. Yeah, you cannot leave the world. But he called him out of a sinful situation of idolatry. And that it is a case we can read in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, there we can read that the Lord did call Abram out of a situation of idolatry. Joshua 24. So Abram was living in a situation of serving idols, and the Lord wanted to stop that. So he called him out of that situation. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus said the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abram and the father of Nachor, and they served other gods. So Abram was serving idols, and the Lord called him. So he is from a situation of idolatry called by the Lord. The Lord wanted to get him out. Isn't that a powerful illustration of what the Lord is doing in the lives of those that he is saving? Saving to give glory to God. He is calling people out of the darkness of idolatry and of sin to be set apart for himself. That's what the Lord is doing. When the word is preached, he is calling you to leave behind all that old sinful ways and to be totally for the Lord, that your heart and life would be surrendered to the Lord. Is there that dedication in your heart, your life? Oh, I hope that you can say, this morning I saw something of the beauty of Christ, that perfect Savior, in his forgiveness, in the forgiveness of sin that he has prepared, and that you have a desire in your heart that you wouldn't sin anymore, and that you would live in obedience to the Lord. Well, how good that is. The Lord is calling you, boys and girls. I don't know what things there are in your life, but you will know. Men and women, adults, each of us to leave behind that old dark life in selfishness and sin, and to obey to the Lord. I remember when the Lord started to work in my heart that I was scared, afraid to talk about it, because, oh, yeah, there had been times that I felt emotionally touched by the word, but that was going away. And the time that it really brought me on my knees, I knew it's different, but oh, if it would go away again, and if it would turn out that I would live in the world in a sinful way, then people would say, you see that hypocritical person, I was afraid about that. Yeah. And maybe you recognize that, but oh, I couldn't stay silent. I couldn't continue not talking about what the Lord had done. Yeah, and then what you need is to give it all in the hands of the Lord. Oh Lord, my expectation is from Thee. And wasn't that the way that Abram had to do it when he would leave his country and his kindred and his father's house? And that his hope and expectation would be from the Lord. It is by faith that Abram was obedient, and that he would make this journey. And the Lord did not make him ashamed. Well, and not ashamed in the Lord. Well, he has had times that he was ashamed in himself, like we will see. How is it with you? Did you leave the world in such a way you have to live in the world, but that you forsake the world? That by the grace of God, there is that choice in your heart, that new desire worked by the Holy Spirit. And oh, that is burning like a fire because of the love of Christ. I do not want to sin anymore. Oh, I want to live with the Lord. I want to have that tender life with Christ. Remember, when you think about Abram, when you think about yourself, what it means, could be that you have to leave old friends behind you. It can be hard. There can be times that you feel alone. How alone Noah has been in a corrupt world. But the Lord was near. There will be situations that you lose friends because of living in dedication to the Lord. There will be old habits that you are so used to, that the Lord is going to change in your life. And if you find it hard, like you would find it hard to leave your country and to leave your kindred and father's house, all that security, all those things that are so well known and can feel so good and safe to you, think about the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do? He left his father's house. He came down on earth. He left all security, became man, and he has experienced all the enmity in this world. All that situation of Abram, you could say, would be a situation of danger. He had to go to a strange country. So what would those strange tribes do to him? Christ came down from heaven, and what did man do to him? They rejected him. They despised him. He was forsaken by his father, and he was killed in the most cruel way, accused of the most terrible crimes. Think about it. There you stand. And they say all bad things about you. They accuse you. No one protecting you. You look around and there's no help. Can you imagine such a situation? And that's what the Lord Jesus has experienced. Accused to take sin away for all those that would flee to him with their sin and their guilt. Is it too much if the Lord is calling us to forsake the world? Certainly not. If you see what Christ has done to bring me up out of the depth of the mud of sin and of my depravity, to bring me to that glory of the knowledge of God, eternal, to bring me to that security of having my feet standing on such a strong and firm rock and foundation, which is Christ himself. It's not too much, so good. He wants us to come out of this world. Would you like to stay for always in this world? Yesterday night, after that music evening, talked to some people, talked about growing older, said that's not so bad for me. I would really not like to stay in this world. Would you? A world full of sin, a world full of dishonoring the Lord, a world full of sneers that trap you again and again. A world where you continue to experience the power of darkness and Satan. Would you like to stay in such a world? Are you not looking forward to what the Lord has prepared for those that fear him? Oh, child of God, you do. Do more of that. Have more expectation and desire to be free from sin, because it is dishonoring the Lord and it costed Christ everything. Abram is called and you are called. We are all called by the power of the word. Why that resistance? Why that unwillingness? Why that rebellion in our heart? Because that we are sin, and we by nature we like sin, the pleasure of sin. Well, some sins we do not like, but there are so many that we really like. They feel so good to give glory to myself while stealing it from the Lord, or at the cost of my neighbor. So many sins that we hide in our heart. But shall we take fire in our bosom and not burn? Oh, that we would see how bad it is. And listen to that voice of the Lord. You say, oh, I cannot. But there's help. There's the power of the Spirit making that call of the Lord so powerful that you cannot help. But you come. You have to come. So irresistible. Maybe there's a young person here that says, I do not like that person. You can talk about it. If you want it, you can keep it. I'm certainly not going to do that. Well, that's what you say. But if the Lord has another plan, you will come. And I pray for that. That you will come. And you will never regret it. You will never regret it. Abram was obedient. Yeah, that's the work of the Lord. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So he's starting the journey. And he did it because the Lord had told him, 75 years old, so that means he had received the promise of the Lord that he would be a blessing. And the Lord had spoken to him that he would give him a son. But at this point of time, it would last 25 years before the promise of the Lord would be fulfilled. So we can say, from this time on, the whole life of Abram was one big struggle with the promise of God. Oh Lord, fulfill thy promise. Isn't that a powerful illustration of the life of a child of God? One big struggle with the promise of God. To rest in his word. To live by faith. Well, you cannot see it. So many times you do not even experience it. But then hope in the Lord and in his word. So is the life of a child of God a journey. Sojourning in this world. To be a stranger. A pilgrim. Where's your rod of the pilgrim staff to travel in this world? I mean that you live a life that you do not feel at home here. I do not really fit in here in this world. Things are so different here in this world, like I would like to see them. I feel like a stranger. Can you say that? I do not feel at home. Oh, I'm looking for another place, like Abram did. A city with a foundation that God had prepared. So how can you do that, to live such a life? In obedience to the Lord, just follow him and give up all things of yourself that will be a hindrance in being used by the Lord. And you will know which things are between you and the Lord, which things take the sweet communion with God out of your heart. The Lord is calling you to come out of that. How can you do it? Well, yeah, we have to do it. So clear from the word We have to live such a life, like Paul is writing to the Ephesians, chapter 5, and verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So I could mention many, many verses that call us to come out of that situation of serving the world. How can you do that? Well, by faith, by a living faith, by a true faith, seeing the invisible things of God, seeing that reward that is prepared in Christ, seeing that mansion that He has prepared, having a treasure in heaven, so that your heart will be there while you walk on earth. Or to say it in other words, like Paul says it in the letter to the Ephesians, verse 6, chapter 2, about what Christ has done, about what the Lord has done in Christ, and hath raised us up together with Christ to live a new life, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I told you I felt so insecure. The Lord started to work. I was so sometimes scared when I saw my own weakness. And the Lord continued to work. I saw, and the Lord taught me to live by faith. And then you will see how secure you are, O child of God, that the Lord has made you sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So in faith, a child of God will see that he is so secure, like sitting in heavenly places, although experiencing that fight of faith here on earth. But what a comfort and what a peace in your heart when you see those invisible things and you know by faith that your situation is so secure, like sitting in heaven. And then you can do everything in Christ who's strengthening you. Abram was obedient. He was traveling. He had to give up everything. You could say, like that prodigal son, we have to give up everything. That's not bad. Is it bad to give up those rags that you wear as a result of living in sin, like the prodigal son did? He had to get rid of it. And that was a good thing. So we have to lose our own things, and that we wouldn't be so foolish to keep those rags instead of receiving that robe of righteousness of Christ, being embraced by the love of God. That would be foolish if that prodigal son would say, no, for I prefer my own things. Ah, but they are dirty. They are torn. They are rags. How can you say that? Filthy rags. Yeah, that's foolish. That's how foolish we are. We will not walk by faith. Abraham had to trust the Lord. Yeah, we have to walk by faith, in obedience, to leave everything behind. And how good it is to do that. It is so sweet all those times that you meditate upon the grace and goodness of Christ. How good to end your day. You go to sleep, and while you're waiting for the sleep, you lift up your heart to the Lord. And He is filling your heart with peace after all the restlessness of the day. How good it is. How good it is to awake in the morning with all the uncertainty, what will this day bring? And then to look upon the Lord and to have your hope in Him. How good it is, a life of communion with Christ. Yeah. Well, maybe you have a question. Maybe there's a girl that says, is that really true? Maybe a boy who says, well, I cannot see that. Because when Abram obeyed the Lord, what happened to him? So he came to that promised land. And there, you know, there were other people living. Canaanites, Philistines, all those heathens. How dangerous. And if that was not enough, there came a famine in the land. And he had to fight enemies to save Lot out of their hands. And in fact, he never owned the land that was promised by the Lord to him. Yeah, he bought a piece for a cemetery to have a grave there. That's all. So can you say that that is good? Yeah, the Lord will test His own work. And that is good. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 150, stanza 1 till 4. 150, stanza 1. O God, give thou ear to my plea, and hide not thyself from my cry. 150, stanza 1 till 4.
Thank you.
Congregation, let us read what it says in the letter to the Hebrews 11, chapter 11, about Abram. By faith, Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He didn't feel at home in that land. It never became his own. Well, how could he do it? Because he looked for a city with a foundation, that heavenly glory to be with the Lord. But we should never forget that the Lord will test his own work. So if the Lord has worked in your heart, you should not be surprised when there are situations and circumstances that are difficult and hard. How disappointing it was for Abram to experience a famine in the land. So he had to leave the land, or at least that's what he did. He decided to do, to go to Egypt. Is this a promise of the Lord? Can this be right? This is the land that is promised to me, and now there I go to Egypt, because I'm afraid to starve here. Yeah, you can experience that. The Lord is working in your life. There are times of darkness, times of disappointment, times that you do not feel the comfort of the Lord like you want to feel. Why? How can this happen? How hard it was for Abram that he had to separate from Lot, and that Lot chose the best part. How lonely he must have felt. There are those deep disappointments in the lives of the children of God. We have to be honest about that. It's not a life with only sweet experiences and comfort. No, it's like a fight, and you will have hard experiences. Why would you want to live such a life? Well, there are several reasons. An important reason is this is the way where the Lord is calling us to leave this world, at least that our hearts would not be in the world, so that we will be saved from eternal wrath and damnation. Isn't that an important reason? Or let me say this, a more important reason. So that God will receive the glory from my heart and life. Isn't that an important reason? Yeah, but what about me, if I will have a hard time, if there will be persecution? Yeah, it's about the glory of God. And if the Lord, in his plan, decided that I need it, what would I say? Another reason why I would live such a life is that the Word is making it very clear that the Lord will never forsake me when I, called by him, will be obedient by his grace to follow him, to follow the footsteps of Christ. The Lord will never forsake you. Oh yes, there will be times of suffering. There will be situations of being hated. Servant is not more than his master. Disciple is not more than the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord will be near to you. I'm not saying that you always will experience it, but he will keep you. And in the right time, he will comfort your heart and strengthen you. I would like to have a life without those hardships and trials. I would never choose them. Those tribulations, afflictions, the Lord knows it. So he has chosen them for you. Why? Well, he is testing Abram. So, and that it will be seen in his life that it is the work of the Lord doing all those things. It is not Abram. So testing like by fire. If you have gold, children, out of the ground, it has to be made pure by fire, so that all the dirt will go out. So there has to be fire to have pure gold, precious. So is the Lord testing and making faith pure, so that we will only have the Lord and trust him alone. So Abram had to leave the land to be in Egypt, to sojourn there. And then, he showed that he in himself is nothing. He didn't trust the Lord and speak the truth. He twisted it a little bit. Okay, his wife was his half-sister. But he was afraid. And so he deceived Pharaoh, saying that she was his sister, afraid for his life. Because his wife was so fair to see fair the eyes of the Egyptians. Where is your faith, Abram? Oh, I do not have it for myself. I need to receive it continuously from the Lord. And then when Pharaoh will discover it, then he is talking to Abram. He would say, this hero of faith, there he is standing before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, why, says thou, she is my sister. So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold, thy wife, take her and go thy way. What does Abram say? Nothing. What could he say? Isn't it a situation to be ashamed? So there will be those situations that we will be ashamed about ourselves, that we cannot answer. It's true. Even people in the world will make us ashamed, like Pharaoh. So that we would not trust in ourselves, but that all our hope would be in the Lord. It's humbling, isn't it? And people in the world will have to correct us. You, Christian, you did a wrong thing. But you have to bow your head and say, it is true. It's true. I need grace. I need forgiveness. I need the Lord to work faith in my heart continuously. Otherwise, if he is leave me alone in a certain way, although he will never do that, but to show me whom I am, I will fall immediately. But I will not stay in my fall. He will lift me up. I will rise again by his grace and by his goodness. Oh, yeah. You see how the Lord is working in our lives so that he will be all, that we will not boast and glory in ourselves. He is testing us so that he will strengthen his own work and at the same time reveal to us what our work is, so that he will give glory to himself and humble us. And that is a lesson, a teaching that is continuing till the end of our earthly life. We need it. But it is a good life. Christ becomes more and more precious. Oh, to know him becomes more and more sweet and important for me. And there's more and more hope. The more I lose hope in the things of this world, and in man, and in myself, the more hope and expectation I have from the Lord. Isn't it great to get rid of yourself so that you have only Christ? Isn't that good? He will be everything, that he will be all. No longer I living, but Christ living in me. That's what the Lord is working more and more. That's what Abram had to learn, and you and I. And we don't like it, but it's good. We need it. And at the end, oh, we will rejoice in the Lord. And we will need eternity to give glory to him for what he has done. So, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means to have a journey in this world, to sojourn, to be a stranger. It means to follow the Lord, leaving all my own things behind. It means to be tested so that I hope in the Lord alone. It means to have that promise of an inheritance like Abram had, by the speaking in the Word of God. Think about what the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 5. He says, "Blessed are the meek, because for they will inherit the earth." Yeah, that's our future, if we know the Lord. Not that we get his rules in our own strength and in our own power, but we have that promise that we will inherit the earth when we belong to Christ. That means to live a meek life, to be renewed to his image. That means not to fight for yourself, but to fight against yourself. That means not to fight to get the things of this world, but to know that you will inherit the earth. That means to give up your old ways, to walk in that new way of the Lord, like Abram did. Oh yes, he has been ashamed about himself, but not about the Lord. Christ is giving a powerful testimony about Abram in the Gospel according to John. "Your father Abram rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Long before Christ was born, he saw Christ in the promise of God. That is how we have to live, to see him in the promise of God, to embrace him by faith and to rejoice in him. And we will not be ashamed. He will not forsake us. We have forsaken him. We can never be saved because of our faithfulness. He's faithful, and he will not forsake those that expect their salvation from him alone. Can you say that? Amen. Let us pray together. Lord, how good thou art to those that have a contrite heart. And we have not such a heart by nature. It's thy work, thou art doing that. O Lord, we are ashamed when we see how much work thou hast to do in our lives, to take away that old sinful habits, to take away our doubting, O Lord, and to work faith in our hearts, to take away those filthy rags of self-righteousness that can never save us, and to work that righteousness of Christ, to impute it to us, His righteousness and holiness, so that we are holy and without stain in Him. Lord, that we would walk with Thee in such a tender way, and we will not be ashamed. Bless Thy word, that we would rest in Thy promise, like Abram, who never owned the land during his earthly life. His descendants got it, and he will inherit the earth. Lord, oh, that Thou would work that meekness as a fruit of faith, not to fight for ourselves, to be as a lamb, if it's about our glory and our name, and to be like a lion, if it's about Thy glory and Thy name. We thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy goodness, for all the things we receive this day, and forgive our many sins, and guide and lead us by the Spirit. We pray for the young people when they gather as youth group this evening, that it might be a blessed evening. And also when we gather for a reflection on the Lord's Supper, Lord, bless it to our hearts. Oh, we can never have enough of this knowledge of this blessed Savior, that I might know Him. That's what Paul says. That's what we have to say after receiving that knowledge of Him. There's always more to be received. Lord, oh, grant it to us. We pray, O Lord, that Thou would work powerfully in the hearts of each and every one. We pray it in the forgiveness of our many sins and to the glory of Thy name, in Jesus' name. Amen.